find out what it's like to experience the world from above. Fly your own drone today. DroneCloneExperts.com specializes in high-quality, affordable drones. Now introducing their Limitless 2 model, equipped with a 4K camera for stunning Ultra HD clarity, GPS with precision auto return, and up to 25 minutes flight time on a single charge. Visit DroneCloneExperts.com now and enter promo code RADIO to receive 15% off your entire order. That's DroneCloneExperts.com.
Hello, Verbal Shenanigans fans. We're excited to welcome a new sponsor to the show. So listen on up. We're embarking on a new year, and that means new sponsors. Since we know many of you are sports fans, you are going to love this. Our newest sponsor of the show is DynastySportsEmpire.com. Say it one more time, DynastySportsEmpire.com. Otherwise known as DSE, they are the world's largest dynasty and keeper fantasy league management company in the world. We're not talking about your cute little home league with Uncle Reno or Draft Queens or FanDouche or one of those other companies. This is real fantasy general managing at its core. If you're tired of your mundane redraft league and have always wanted to retain your amazing team year in, year out, then DSE is where you want to be. They got fantasy hockey and hoops leagues now forming, so visit DynastySportsEmpire.com and see if you have what it takes to conquer their fantasy leagues today. That's DynastySportsEmpire.com. And again, we're very happy to welcome them to the Verbal Shenanigans family. We got a great episode for you today. Go check out DynastySportsEmpire.com.
Hi, this is Tony Daniels, and you're listening to Verbal Shenanigans. What's the word? Oh, shenanigans. Ooh. You're telling Al Pacino how to speak. Forget about it.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
There. Welcome on back to your weekly programming known as Verbal Shenanigans. We are so happy for you to come back and return and tune in to our little show. Mike, how are the...
Well, let me look over who's listening here. Let me confirm. I got a lot of enemies out there in the world, Scott. I don't want just anybody listening to our show.
All right, you look it up. Who's listening?
Let's see. There's Dom. I mean, we always talk about Dom. I mean, he's number one.
Dom listens.
Yeah, there's Nigerian people, as we established when we got Christian Okoye.
Big in Nigeria.
Gave us a ton of Facebook likes. let's see. Russian bot. Chinese bot. That's different. Good for us.
Maybe that's our audience. We're a big bot cast, you know?
When Skynet takes over, we'll be like the only surviving humans, and we'll be like enslaved to do podcasts for the rest of eternity, just you and me.
I kind of feel like that's our future anyway, so you know.
Yeah,
it's funny, the other day my wife's like I was like, yeah babe, episode 335 came out this week, Stephen Perkins. She's like, oh yeah, cool. She's like, how long do you think you're you're gonna do that? I'm like,
there's the first talk.
I'm like,
this is the point where, like, and on that day, we knew it was over.
No, she actually likes that I do, but then she's like, oh, I don't know, maybe you had a different idea and you want. I'm like, no, like we can barely get it together week to week to do this. Never mind coming up with an actual themed idea; that would seem almost impossible.
She's trying to get rid of me, and she asked for like my quiche when she saw it on Facebook. So I'm a little upset with Alex right now.
You're upset with Alex.
Yeah. I mean, she's trying to change the rhythm of this unity between you and me, and I feel she's angling for something. I don't know what yet. I mean, maybe it's like I don't know, like a Home and Gardens kind of podcast or something like that with you and her, or maybe like a fishing program with your father.
There's one thing I can guarantee she does not want is a podcast with me. Like, there is no way she wants to spend an hour in a week, an extra hour a week talking to me. There's no way. Maybe an extra hour a week of like, here, you take care of the baby. But there's definitely not like, we're not going to be doing like baby talk with the Brennans, you know, like it's not.
Well, that is the perfect radio voice for baby talk.
Hey.
Hi, everybody. Well, what's that screaming sound in the background? Is that a baby?
Today, we're going to talk about changing diapers. Do they smell? Oh, yeah. Boing, 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 boing. Yeah.
What do you think is like the one parenting joke? Like, somebody's come up to you, like, you know, they're like sarcastic about it. They're like, how's it like changing diapers or something like that?
You know what? You know what? Here's what everybody has said to me. I guess this is pre-baby, but every single parent that's already a parent that comes up to you, congratulations, blah, blah, blah. Enjoy your sleep now. Get your sleep in, because once that happens, your sleep is over for the next couple years. Every single person says the same exact thing. It's like, okay, so did you think that we were having a baby and we're like, you know, he's gonna come out and he's just gonna sleep 12 hour shifts right away? Like, we know it's like the worst thing you can say to a parent. Like, in fact, like, you know, you're kind of preparing for this big change in your life and your everyday thing, and the last thing you want to hear is you're not gonna get sleep again. Like, you know, enjoy your sleep now. Everything changes. Everything. Like, imagine I was like, really? Everything changes? And wait, I'm not going to get the sleep I get now? Like, oh boy.
It would be fantastic if you were like the dumbest parent on the planet, where like you bring the baby to the counselor.
That is my reality, by the way.
Like, you bring the baby to a counselor. Like, listen, we've had him for like 3 days now. I told him when his bedtime is, and this thing keeps screaming. I don't get it. But he hasn't said anything yet, too. So there must be some kind of closet thing going on with Shay right now.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, obviously, like, sleep's like not great, but you know, you find a way to make it work. I'm not the best sleeper to begin with, so I actually think, I don't know. I feel like it might suit my schedule more than my wife. My wife is like, she needs her sleep. She'll put her hours in no problem. Like, I'm like a toss and turn, think about anything, like thoughts from like middle school pop in my head before I go to bed, like terrible, sleeper. And so I think it might affect her more. My sleep's been so sporadic for years that I think that It hasn't crushed me too bad. Obviously, I'm kind of tired and in zombie mode. The other day, I went to I might have said this before, but I went to I'm forgetting the name of the store. Acme, the food store or whatever down the street. And I went to the store with like a list of things, and I walked in the store and just drew like a complete blank. No idea what I was there for. Like, standing in the aisles, like. Like, had no idea. Couldn't remember if it was a grocery trip, if it had something for the baby. I kind of had to, like, do, like, a lap around the store to kind of get, like, the the juices flowing in my brain. I'm like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Milk, eggs, yeah, yeah. Milk, eggs, formula. Got it. And then, like,
you go to customer service, and you're like, can you help me figure out what I came here for? I don't want to call my wife again on this. I look stupid. We're already going to counseling for the baby not listening to its bedtime.
Yeah, and then, like, the other day, instead, I go to pour us 2 cups of coffee, and I poured us 2 cups of milk instead. Ooh. Yeah, 2 mugs of milk instead of coffee, and then putting milk in it, like we usually drink it. I poured 2 cups of milk, and then was sitting there with 2 mugs in my hand, like, what the hell is wrong with that? Was wrong with
I me. Hope you Kurt angled that and just, like, chugged it down, and I was like, milk! This is my thing now!
It's bad. But, you know, like, people like to exaggerate a little bit. Now, I could see like if you had a second child with a young child, I can see where that really gets a little crazy. Like when you got two beings that need your care at all times. That's where I could see, at least right now, we're able to kind of like pass them off. Like, hey, I got to go shower, go to the bathroom. I got to go cook something. Like, here, you take, you know, we're at least sharing.
I pour myself another cup of milk.
I need some milk, and I need to go do some laps at the Acme.
Just come home with like 5 gallons of milk, and that's the only thing I can remember. I'm not going back.
And like what I'm finding is like, the last thing you want to do, like after being with the baby all day and then you like going to work and talking to other humans, it's like talk about the baby. At least me, anyway. Like I want to see you, Mike, at work and talk about the Mets offseason moves and something else. You know, like, but then it's like, how's the baby? How's the this? How are they sleeping? And then it's like, oh, you answer those questions. And then you see the next person at work. How's the baby? How's the sleep? Are you getting any sleep? And then eventually you just want to just like Hulk out and kill somebody. It's bad.
Yeah. I'm not huge into like the repeat conversation thing. So I can tell that could be annoying and all. So hopefully you don't have a very special child where you have to like, Shay got on the honor roll again. All right, here comes the next person. Hey, Jim, did you hear about Shay? You just go on with life. Like, you just want Shay to be like straight C pluses for his entire life. He plays baseball, whatever the league average is, goes right at it. Just so you don't have to talk about him. It's like, I could tell you, but you're going to get bored.
Yeah.
That's my son. I love him.
So you're not one for repeat stories? Like you don't like repeat stories?
I have a thing against her. Like, I get this a lot with the wife. Like, she likes what she likes. Like, I'm the kind of guy, like, I go to a restaurant, I want to get something I haven't got before. I know what I like, but I'm like, I have to see what else is on there. She is the, I know what I like, that's what we're getting kind of thing. So we get that kind of struggle back and forth, and like, just, I just hate when like people, like we go out and it's like, ugh, they're going to bring up that story and then it's going to be blah, 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 blah.
Oh, so the other day I went to Acme and I couldn't remember what I was there for. And
were you there for Prime Comedy? Cause it's right here with that one, baby.
No, yeah, it's I'm the same way. I don't like repeating myself. In fact, a lot of times, like, my wife sometimes will talk and like she won't hear me or something like that, and she'll be like, "What? What did you say?" And like the rage just bubbles up in me, like to repeat myself. I just want to be like, "You want to hear what I said? Just put your head down in the water. This is what I said." You know. But I keep that suppressed, and I'm not allowed to do that. So
I'm exactly the same way, minus the murder.
Oh, stop. You took your wife like on a murder trail tour.
It wasn't a tour. It was a bad kind of planning idea where we were in the middle of the woods where somebody got murdered running. And we were running. That was just,
yeah. I see your secret plan was she probably made you repeat a lot of stories. And you're like, let's go on the murder trail. Please be the day. Please be the day.
But I'm the same way, like, especially with, like, my voice. I mean, if you know me for long enough with my loud volume, like, when I try to keep it down, and then when I keep it down and then I say something and somebody's like, what? Like, it immediately triggers me where I just, like, I take it to, like, level 20 of my voice and I do it by, each syllable. Just to make extra sure they don't say what again.
All right, let's role play here. Let's role play. Okay. Tell me something. Tell me something you did today. Hey, how was your day, honey?
You know, I went downstairs, did some work, came up, made some pasta or whatever.
Wait, what?
I went downstairs to work. Then I made some pasta.
So you get you go zero to extremely like new passive aggressive immediately.
I guess it depends on like if I'm irritated going into the day. Yes, 0 to 60 right off the bat. Like if it's something simple, like I'm in a good mood. Yep, goes right past me. Yeah, I'll repeat it and all. But like when we're running, like I'm the pacer, so I keep track of the like pace per mile.
Which pacer are you? Reggie Miller? Are you Rick Smith? Are you dad joke number two today?
I'm more of a Chris Mullen kind of guy.
All right,
but yeah, like if we're in like a long run, like this Saturday will be like 14 miles. I'm probably in that good quote unquote mood by like mile six. So like if we finally hit the mark and it's like, okay, it was 10:49. What? 10:49.
So what miles are we allowed to talk to you? Like what miles are you in a good mood? Like the first couple or like when you get in a groove?
It really depends. If I'm feeling comfortable, it's a good day, you could probably get me on a repeat. But if you can tell, like, I'm not in a good mood, like, one big sign is, like, me just taking off. Like, usually I try to stay the same pace with my wife, but, like, a couple days ago, it was 30 here in Georgia in the afternoon, and it was cold and rainy, and it was a six-mile run. So, like, literally the second I hit the button to start tracking, I just boom, took off. Like you see me just like take off because I'm in the mindset of I got to get this done as quickly as possible. I don't want to be out here. So if you ask me to repeat myself, then you're getting loud syllable per syllable Michael.
That's a good question, actually. Like what things trigger you to fly off the handle? Repeating is definitely one. I think we share that.
Side note, I guess I'm loud enough where my wife says, I'm guessing you're talking about me. I'm dying of laughter hearing at this right now. So.
Just tell her, no, we're not. yeah, like what gets you furious? I can think of a few things that get me furious. I like don't like being, I think I might have mentioned this before, I don't like being like, I don't like when anybody, now maybe COVID's helped this, but I don't like when anybody touches my face. Like, it drives me absolutely nuts. Like, even when I was a kid, like, I'll never forget, like, one Easter, my dad was messing around with me, and, like, my dad has, like, big, strong, like, blue-collar strength. Like, mm-hmm. Like, my dad has, like, electrician hands. I don't know. He's been working with his hands so long that he has this ridiculous strength.
You look at him, you're like, oh, I could take him, but he's got like that mysterious farmer strength where it's just like, dear God, I don't want to mess with this man.
Yeah. I remember like we used to play around in my pool as a kid. Now, guys, I had an above ground pool. You're not talking to class here. You're talking utilitarian.
I hope you're talking about like a little inflatable pool. It's like 6 inches and he's like, all right, who's going for a dive?
No, my friends used to come over and he used to beat the hell out of my friends. Like, you know, we'd wrestle with him and stuff. And he would just like drown my friends. I'd be like, ha, 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 like until they, you know, like the kicking starts to slow down a little bit. Where the bubbles come out a little less frequently. And then I'm like, bring him up. And he'd be like, ha, my, like,
he's laughing, but he's making sure he's not committing a federal offense kind of deal.
But also asserting his dominance on us. I just remember this thing, Easter. We were messing around, and he grabbed my nose and like Three Stooges style, but grabbed it with his big electrician, nasty mechanic hands.
Kind of fingers, gotcha.
Took my nose and just wrenched it. Like sideways, and I was like, "Ah!" Right, and my nose just turned completely black and blue. And I spent the entire Easter fuming like so mad with like a, we were over like my aunt's house or whatever with a cushion like over my face pretending that like nothing happened all day and like just like trying to give my, you try to like, you ever try to use your eyes to really like tell somebody you're mad at them? I feel like with the with the mask nowadays, you really gotta,
as you may recall, Disney, the woman with the oxygen tank, I had to give her the eyes to kind of tell her, no, I don't appreciate you.
Speaking of that, our good listener, Dom Bagnato, texted me today. He was catching up on our podcast, and he literally said to me, what a great episode with East of June. Never go to never go to Disney with Berlew. So, I mean, you're just bad people.
No, no, the people we went to, we're not, they're all right people, but they are not vacation friends. I do not cut line at amusement parks, and I generally don't give eyes of killing you when I'm in line at an amusement park,
and
generally.
And turn the oxygen slightly off on the lady in front of you. We heard it all. Go back to the episode, guys. If you don't believe me, go listen. It's on wax, as they say, Berlew. It's on wax. You can't take it back now. Yeah, people touching my face always bothered me. Like, I don't know. So what gets you going?
Anybody who talks for a very, very long time, and then when you get that slight moment where you can say a sentence, you start and they interrupt you immediately.
It's funny.
It burns me in a second.
It sounds like an old radio show we used to work on.
Yeah, those were bite my lips kind of days. Yeah, I kind of remember those.
We worked in this other radio show, and we talked about this before, but me and Berlew would basically be the tech side of it, but also have on mics, and I would know, like, it would go from, like, me and Mike joking around, having fun, and then, like, I would know when Mike would start to seize. I could feel the heat coming off of him, like, when he would get interrupted, things like that. So I've seen that from you before.
Yeah, yeah. And that show had, like, a good 6 or 7 long talkers on that show. So there was literally so many.
Because nothing says good radio like 6 or 7 hosts.
and that's on a good night.
Yes.
As an update, man, is Scott your marriage counselor? I feel attacked. I'm going to the bathroom and hearing this all right now. So
say go to bed, Snowflake.
But I'd say generally in real life, I'm not a person that does like a ton of talking. I'm kind of one of those, you know, less is more kind of guys when I talk. And yeah, I don't mind somebody chatting away and like giving details. But if I wait 15 minutes and I start something and you immediately say, nope, I got another 2 hours in me. Like, as much as it sounds and all, like, my wife is texting me, there are times, like, she will get into this and, like, literally in a group, as she interrupts me, I go, like, literally, I can't hold it back.
That gets
literally out loud. And then she goes, oh, you have something to say, Mike?
Oh.
And lets me say my sentence. And now she's cracking up upstairs. She knows the sound.
That gets me mad, too. Sometimes I'll go to tell a story to our friends, like, oh, I got to tell you the story that happened. And I'll go to tell the story, and then my wife will interrupt and say, like, the next 3 sentences, and then I just go into rage mode.
Especially when it's your story.
Yeah,
when it's your story, it's like, whoa. This is my life.
You know,
I'm able to give the commentary.
You know what even drives me crazier? When they're not telling this story correctly. Like, if they're interrupting and telling the story wrong, I'm like, Jesus, I got to come back and bring this back to life. You know, and listen, I am the better storyteller of the two. I'm claiming that.
I'm prime entertainment here. You're mismanagement of words. Okay.
Yeah. Like I'm telling the story. I'm going to bring the life to that story. And then all of a sudden when you want to bring the, oh no, 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 no. And interrupt 5 times, I start to get I feel you on that one. I feel you on that one. I feel like we're talking about similar things here. There was something else that I was going to say that makes... Oh, you know what makes me feel really mad? And I think this stems from maybe like in high school or middle school, like working on projects or something and doing like a lot of the... I hate when someone doesn't pull their weight and then takes credit for things. That drives me absolutely insane. Like, if you're at work and like you're doing this, you're getting paid on the same scale as somebody and you're going over the top and beyond, or at least doing what the job calls for, and someone's just not doing anything, and they, you know, they try to take the same amount of credit, or they try to be portrayed as the same as it equal. That drives me insane.
Oh yeah. Like if you remember my old job that I loved, mm-hmm. I was at, I'll never forget, like, they had like a quarterly award. They had the President's Trophy, it was called. And like, I would always get furious whoever like won this thing because it was always political and it was always like BS. And then like my upper bosses, when they would get mad about it, they're like, oh, it's just politics. And then somebody else in the group who didn't really work would get it, where it would just turn to them, or like, well, you don't understand, they were on a project that was like big or whatever. Like, I'll never forget, like, one quarter, and I became a manager fairly recently where I can go to the meetings where they made the announcements, and like they announced the winner as like these group of people, which also included our facilities manager, who is, hand to God, like, I don't even kid when I say it, is dumb as a doorknob, stupid kind of guy. You may remember him from my famous stories about wearing one pair of underwear for 4 days.
Oh, God, yeah, that guy.
And announcing the people and stuff. So he got the President's Trophy. And right next to me was, like, one of my best friends working there. And it's kind of like you. He knows when I'm angry. And he was like, I could hear his inner chuckling. He was trying to keep it in as he was looking at my face. Like, I was literally moving up and down in my seat as I see this idiot going up to get a trophy and a check.
Oh, see, the trophy wouldn't bother me. There's a check that goes with it. That would bother me.
Yeah.
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 Now, in your your IT soccer teams, did you guys also play for a trophy, or was there no
one? Now, they technically once got a trophy, but the only reason they got a trophy was it was like the last year they had a soccer team. It was based out of New Jersey. I used to go up to Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. I'd go like 2 hours to go to work, and then I would drive another half an hour north to play this soccer game where we lose by 30 goals and then drive 2.5 hours back home. But
now on your soccer team, would you say that you were more of the Maradona of the team or the Pele of the team? What was more your style?
Those two sound like they know soccer. So those weren't me. Those were not me.
I'm sorry. Maybe this is stereotypical, but still the image of an IT soccer team, like guys who work in IT, I've known a long time, just do not seem like there would ever be an amazing IT soccer team. Unless there's like some team from like Belarus that they've been training for years.
Well, that was kind of like how they won a trophy, because like the last 2 years they only did it in like New Jersey. And we didn't have like a big Jersey office at that time. So like our one guy won. Like it was him and a bunch of his friends, and a bunch of his friends knew how to play soccer. So we called them the quote unquote contractors, but it was just basically them that won the trophy. So it's kind of funny where like they took the picture with the trophy and everybody's like, who the hell are 90% of these people winning this?
I still think the IT soccer league sounds like that, you know, like comics or actors get like those two great movies and then they always have like those third or fourth where they try to keep that shine going and it just doesn't happen. Like Will Ferrell. Uh-huh. Will Ferrell had like Old School and Anchorman, and then and then like you know, they tried it with the basketball movie and Talladega Nights.
Semi-pro.
And they weren't, they didn't have the quite the same shine, you know. They weren't as, or like Ben Stiller had that real hot streak, and then like you could see like Ben Stiller and like after Dodgeball, like being like the IT Cup, you know, like it just I could see it so clearly.
I remember for a short period of time we were talking about writing the script.
Oh yeah, it's still in my script ideas file that I have. I have like 4 or 5 script ideas, and I have written like 400 words total in all those scripts. They're all minute long
for like a movie release. Are they generally known for more for being longer than 400?
Yeah. Well, the IT Cup's going to be 400 words, and then just the game broadcasted.
It's just a bunch of IT guys going, damn it.
Well, let's segue from our anger here. Let's get out of our little anger tree here. Today on the podcast, we have a really interesting guest. We've had this pretty cool run of having voice actors on the show. We've had Frank Sims, who was the Kool-Aid man. We had, what's his face?
Michael Bell.
Michael Bell was like G.I. Joe and like 1,000 other comics and, cartoons.
And yelled at LeBron James.
Yes. Yes. So today we have a man by the name of Tony Franklin coming on the show. And through our interview, like we discover just how much the guy's been involved with. It's like way bigger than like you could go Wikipedia him. We found him by looking him up as one of the original voices for Tony the Tiger. And he was just a really awesome guest and a really neat guy. So it was a great interview. So without further ado, here is Tony the Tiger, Tony Franklin. Hey, Tony, what's going on?
Hello. How's it going?
We're doing well, Tony. Welcome. I'm Mike. That's Scott. Welcome to Verbal Shenanigans. How's it going?
What's up, Tony?
Hello, Scott. It's been a crazy day. So, yeah, all good, though.
I feel like that's a common answer.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if anybody has like a sweet setup at home for when this pandemic started, I guess you would have the perfect career to be ready for that.
Oh yeah, I've been recording live since 90 something. Like, I was the first guy to record something for the internet. My friend Tony Pastor, who just passed away, was one of my favorite directors, but a really, really good, really good best friend. And he produced The Avengers and Smurfs and Spider-Man, and he was directing it. Voice directing, and he directed me on all the Stan Lee stuff, and I was working with him with Stan Lee, and it was pretty cool. And so we were doing the Backstreet Boys, and they had a live show. It was going to air. Now, this is when we were on 56K modems.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
I was able to record it and get it popped up on the internet to him, mixed in time to go to air right at 8 o'clock at night. And this was, I guess this would have been 5:30 when he called me, so you know how long it would take to upload just the wave file. So it was pretty wild.
Were these the dial-up days? Like if they picked up the phone, your interview was done.
Yeah, mom, turn off the call waiting and stuff. So.
Yeah, right.
See, I would kind of like it from the other side. Like the Backstreet Boys are like in the middle of a concert, and all of a sudden in the background you hear.
Yeah, no, they were great. Those guys are cool. Although Nick never got back to me, he's a little devil when I wrote about Tony to him. But that's it. So let me just. I just want to minimize this. It's me, Bill Clinton. All right, there we go. I got this thing going right now because I just shot my new series. Started yesterday. I had a full like beardy beard thing, and I was playing this Irish rocker. But when are we start? We're not started yet, right?
Or, we started, but we.
I mean, we're recording, but I mean.
Okay. Do you do like a intro, or is it separate?
Yeah, we'll do it separately when we add it to the cast.
Ah, well, then why don't we save some of these stories for that? Jeez.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Tony, I guess the best way to start off with you is kind of ask you, like, when you were a kid growing up, I mean, were you that kind of kid that was always, like, trying to imitate somebody or making your own characters? Or did this kind of work come down the road for you in voice acting?
No, I was Polish kid for I growing up in Europe. No.
I was going to mess with you guys, too, when we first checked in. I was going, hello, how are you? It's good to be here. Wait, this is not Polish interview. Oh, that's tomorrow. I'm sorry. Hi, guys. How's it going? You know, but I didn't do that. No, I was, I didn't even tell you, Michael. One sec.
I'm just dipping out for one sec. Because... this is how I started.
All right.
This is how I started. Oh, bees way out.
All right, a little serenation here on the show.
She's been lying to me. So I took my 9mm sausage. Because you guys are sick. I know y'all. No, I started as a musician. I was like 11, 12 years old playing pro. And I was actually, it was really weird because back then, it was way back in the old days, I was making more as a musician than my folks working two full-time jobs. And I was doing 3 days a week.
Really?
Yeah. And nice. So I took the money and gave it to my folks to buy a house. So they did. And, but I used to get really bored because I was like a little bit of a protege type thing. And I would learn the songs within 2 seconds. And I was a big fan of Rich Little because I grew up in Canada. And so I see Rich Little and I'd be like, oh, wow, Rich Little, this is so cool. I love what he's doing with voices. So I started singing songs with the band. They were all older guys. They were like 30, 35. I was like 11, 12, and I'd be singing in character, you know, like I do Reagan. Someday my prince will, you know, it was just crazy stuff. So I'd get really bored. And then I just went from there, and then I got into radio and TV. I was working as a producer, director, editor at a local cable station in Toronto. And I learned how to do all this cool stuff. And then it was great because it was a way to make rock videos and stuff cheaply. And, but then I started having to do voices for people and it just worked out. And when I got into radio full time, there was a guy I was working for. He'd be like, hey man, can you like learn Elvis tomorrow? I go, I'm not gonna do it now. You know, it's like, boom. So then I go and do Elvis. Paid off later too when I worked as Elvis on, did you guys ever see Erie, Indiana, The Other Dimension?
I do remember Irianda. Now, was that a different show? Because I know there was just Irianda and...
It was just... I'm having tea, just in case. Because I was singing my ass off before you guys logged in. I had a record session for Tommy's new movie. I'll tell you about it in a second. Anyway, so yeah. No, it was... it's the same franchise, but different group of people. They did up in Canada. And my friend Brian Levy called his buddy John Comerford, casting directors, and said, why don't we just get Tony to do Elvis? So I walked in and they were auditioning these Elvis guys. And it was like a room for everybody was dressed as Elvis. Everybody. I was in a t-shirt and jeans. I walked into the boardroom where they were doing the auditions for the producers. And I went, hey, have that fat ass go down to my pink Cadillac and blow the motor out of it. You son of a bitch, give me some of that water. And I just did that. And they went, send the other guys home. That's it. I showed up on set and I was like 15 pounds lighter because I was shooting this other thing. And they go, hey, man, we're shooting like Monday and you're like underweight. We thought you'd gain weight by now. And I go, so the guys I was working with in radio, they were training for Ironman and stuff. So they were talking to me about carbo loading. So I carbo loaded the whole weekend and gained 22 pounds.
No. You're like exactly. A reverse UFC fighter. Like,
yeah. And trust me, I worked in MMA for 11 years on, you know, the show Inside MMA.
Yes.
Right here on Access TV. That guy. Anyway,
oh, there
so,
you go. Cool.
Yeah. I'm working with the beautiful Ron Kruk and my hero. Great. Wow. Talk about eight.
Yeah.
No.
You must have really loved that guy.
No, Buzz Rudin, because actually I flew down to West Virginia to have a little powwow with Buzz, because I wrote this series about him, and it didn't. His manager got involved, and it didn't go anywhere. So I don't know. But yeah, that's all where that started with the music, you know. And I'm up for 2 Grammys with my musical partner, Cassandra Kubinski. Everybody listening, why don't you go over to YouTube and look up Cassandra Kubinski, K-U-B-I-N-S-K-I, and you'll hear some great songs. And 2 of the songs I wrote one with her, and the other one, I've written tons with her, but this one I wrote with her for our album Dreams. And the other one is a brand new video called, there's a new video on there called Stardust. And there's like 3 or 4 different versions of it. And we were in Santa Monica, and I just took out my iPhone 11 and went, let's just do it. It was in the middle of a storm. Like, the rain was coming down hard before COVID. And I was soaked to the brim. In fact, my phone kept going, you've got water in your hole. And I'm like, why do I have water in my hole? How did it know I wasn't wearing underwear? Anyway.
It's quite an app you got there.
It was wicked, man. So we finished the video, and then I got back. I didn't go straight to New York. I ended up, my wife called me and says, I'm in Canada. I go, what the hell are you doing there? She goes, this COVID thing, people are going to die. And I'm like, oh, great. And our friend is he's a genetic scientist, and he confirmed everything for us long before it was crazy. And so I went back to Toronto and stayed there for 7 months. I couldn't cross the border for a while. Not wow. because I can't. I could legally, but it was like, for what? To come to New York and people walking around falling over and dying. Right. So, but I got back exactly. in September, you know, and it's kind of cool because there's no stupid ass tourists. Yeah. Those are the ones that run into you with their car to Whole Foods and go, oh, I'm sorry. I ran into you. It's my car. It's like a, and then you turn around and you go, hey, dumbass, you just ran into me with your car. They go, oh, God, a real New Yorker. Right. So they freak out. Right. But it's kind of an interesting, interesting thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, we've been lucky enough to have a couple of voice actors on the show over the years. And it's funny because I feel like all you guys have a similar vibe to you. Like, you just bust into different voices at any time. Is this like, some guys, it seems like, I forget which one it was. He was classically trained by watching all like the old Warner Brothers cartoons.
Michael Bell.
I don't know who you're talking. Michael Bell. Yeah. You know, there's a bunch of guys out there that can do anything, anytime, anywhere. My thing is to try and, but yeah, finish your thing and I'll tell you, Scott.
No, I was going to say, like, I know some guys like were classically trained. Some just seemed like they kind of just had it and developed it. Like, was yours something where you were doing these kind of voices and that's kind of how you were acting? Or was that something that you really had to kind of sit down and focus and learn the different dynamics to this?
No, the only time I had to learn anything is I've done a, like, 60 some odd movies in the last 3 years, ADR, replacing other guys' voices.
Right.
And that's where it's a real trick because, you know, there are guys that, you know, technically there's only 9 voices in the whole world, right? I mean, think about it. Like Bugs Bunny. Yeah, Bugs Bunny is, you know, because Mel Blanc was from Brooklyn, yep. right? So Bugs mm-hmm. Bunny is basically Johnny Carson pitched up a little, who's real. And yeah, I did the Johnny Carson on Celebrity Deathmatch years ago. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And when that cool. was a fluke, too, because I was doing Jackie Chan for those guys, and they go, hey, can you do Johnny Carson? And I go, sure. All weekend, I was like, geez, I got to get some Johnny Carson stuff. So I phoned my friend Tony in California, who just passed away from COVID, and I said, I need some Johnny Carson stuff. And he goes, hang on. So he gets me a phone number. He goes, call this guy. I go, hello. And this guy goes, hi, it's Stan Irwin. I go, hi, Stan. Tony, you need some Johnny Carson? I go, yeah. And he goes, let me send you something. I go, what? I go, who are you? And he goes, I'm Johnny's manager. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, this is so cool. I finally got to meet him. At the time I met him, he's like 90-something. And he goes, hit me. And I go, what? Hit me. And I go, and he goes, what are you, a girl? Hit me. I go, what are you? Are you weak? Hit me. And I punched him. And he goes, hey, tennis 5 hours a day. Like, and he was solid. This guy was solid. The only more solid guy was Bobby Hull. Oh, my God. I was
I was playing in I was playing in the Jewish wedding band. There was no klezmer that night, but it was a Jewish wedding band. And we go into the place where we're recording. They go, "Oh, you are. We're playing live, and you can't sit with the family to eat." I'm like, "Why?" And they go, "Oh, it's nothing bad. It's not that we don't want you there, but we thought we'd treat you to something." I'm like, "What? Okay." So they took us to this beautiful hotel restaurant, and I'm telling you, it was a five-star meal. I'd never had a five-star meal. Anyway, so I go in there, and they sat me beside this guy, and I'm looking at him, and I'm like, "Holy crap, you're Bobby Hull." And we hit it off. He was great. But that guy, I'm telling you, we shook hands, and I thought my hand was going to break. That's the second time. The first time was, do you know Ken Kaiser? Remember him?
Sounds familiar.
He was a wrestler who became a umpire in the National Baseball League, right? Well, the American League too. But anyway, so I sang the U.S. and Canadian national anthems at a game, and he came off and he goes, "God damn it, boy, that was the best rendition of my anthem I ever heard in my life." And he put his hand out, and he had this big giant mitt of a hand, and my hand disappeared inside his hand. I thought I'd never get it. So yeah, so I've been lucky, man, because I've been doing a lot of ADR for other people, and you know, so they'll call and, "Oh, can you do Ken Watanabe?" I'm like, "Oh, Ken Watanabe, sure." You know, and then you end up booking it. And then it was an honor too, because I really loved that movie Last Samurai. So I thought, wow, this guy's a great actor. You know, I've done and weird ones too. I've done Tom Cruise. Like, jeez, nobody does Tom Cruise. You know, so those weird actors that have no real voice. And then let's see, last year I did 30 something lines for Christoph Waltz. And then my wife and I were driving from Toronto to New York, and I got a call on a Saturday. It's like, "Hey, it's Todd from Paramount Pictures. Tony, I understand you filled in for Tom Kenny doing SpongeBob." And I go, "Yeah." And he goes, "Jeez, I need like some lines for the new movie because we can't get a hold of Tom. He's busy." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." So he says, "How close are you to a studio?" Back to your question, Michael. "Well, I'm halfway. We're in Ithaca." He goes, "Oh, that's not going to work." He says, "I want you to record now." I go, "Oh, it's okay. Let me pull over to the side of the road." He goes, "What?" I got my portable unit here. So I set up my studio in the car, my, you know, 416 mic, which was good enough for what they were doing.
Yeah.
And blasted off the lines. The guy's like, dude, what studio is that?" I go, "Mercedes." And he's like,
yeah. Route 80.
Even though it was a Corolla, but no.
I got bumping it up, you know. It's like, that's how you add to the resume, if you will.
Exactly. So yeah, so all that stuff is kind of fun. So I, you know, I've been doing a lot of those, and you can imagine with COVID, it's not as prominent. In fact, it's almost zero to none, which is about the same thing. Anyway, but yeah, there's very little. I mean, the odd thing, they'll call and go, "Hey, can you do this line?" And I had one where, and I love this casting director, Dan Fink. He called me and goes, "Hey, can you audition this as an old time radio guy?" And I go, "Sure." So I auditioned it, and then I didn't hear anything. And then I see this check for doing the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I was like, "Ah, oh, this is cool."
Nice.
But I think Gee. my favorite job of the last couple of years has been with Dan and the group from Robert Carlock and Tina Fey doing Kimmy Schmidt, and then Great News. And it was nice that Tina was actually asking for me. That kind of felt kind of cool.
That's awesome.
She's
out of this world.
One of the things I really love, we talked to Michael Bell. We talked to Frank Sims, yeah, who's a voice actor. Almost as fun as seeing the big stuff you guys do is almost getting reminded of like the small cartoons. I'm like, "Oh my God, I forgot about that." Like, it's almost hilarious. I was looking at your resume, like seeing Police Academy, the cartoon series, Free Willy, the cartoon, which I didn't know existed. Now I'm almost dying to see it. And even like,
please tell me like you were Willy. Please tell me you were.
No, I wasn't Willy. I don't know. No, it's funny because I know I see stuff sometimes. People say, "Oh, I saw your IMDb," and I go, "Ah." And I look at it, I go, "Oh, there's like a bunch of stuff missing. There's stuff there that I go, well, I didn't do that." And then they go, "Yeah, you did." And I look it up, I go, "Oh, heck, I did." I have this kid out of, I shouldn't say kid. He's a little older than a kid. Anyway, he's out of Australia. And he's like the super Sailor Moon fan of all time.
And he'll go, did you do this? And he'll send me all these video clips. There's like thousands of them. Because I literally did thousands of voices on that series. And like sometimes in one scene, I'll have like 12 voices. And he goes, hey, played this thing back. And I go, yeah, that's me. Yeah, that's me. That, yeah, that's me. That's me. And he goes, how are you doing that? And I go, it's a gift. Thank you.
Yeah, right.
Out of curiosity with the anime, do you have to change your stuff up since they already like made it in Japan and they're dubbing it in English, or is it just pretty much the equivalent to any other kind of animation job?
No, it's definitely different. And especially with that group, that was Optimum Productions brought it into Canada, and they were doing what's called Rhythmo Band. And so it's a French invention where they take the script for a show and they write it by hand on a film. And the film plays back at the same time as the video on the screen. And then you have to match the flaps. And it's a hard acting job. It's harder than it looks, and it's less money, way less money, right, compared to an animation job. And you're looking at it going, I actually have to work harder doing this crap for less money than I would on a regular animation job, because you want to, I'm a pro. I want to get it perfect for them. So I match the flaps perfectly. But what the only good saving grace from that was the fact that when I go to do ADR for real films, like, you know, replacing Christoph Waltz, you're matching his flaps perfectly because you've had so much training doing it, doing those other anime things. It's great. But anime is different. And a lot of times, I won't tell you, but, like on the first episode, Roland Parliament and I were there and we're standing there. I'm going like, how come we're here for this audition? They're going, Roland, Tony? Yeah. No, you guys are already cast. I don't even know why they called you back. You're good to go. I'm like, oh, great. So we're in the next day and I was playing this character called the Oracle.
The Oracle.
Character, right? And so this was the uncut Japanese version. Now, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Japanese anime that's unedited. And they stop the video and I go, that's my character? Yeah. I'm hoping you guys change it. What do you mean? It's already there. Why would we change it? I go, can you roll forward? And so it was like this, and they roll forward. And as they're rolling forward, because it's panning downward, now it's moving forward, and they can see this thing going up and up and up. And it's basically a phallus with two testicles. And I go, I represent that, but here's the deal. I'm not putting my voice on that. They're like, oh, my God, we'll change it. So they drew in something else. It was horrible because I'm like, you know, kids are watching this. I don't want that, you know. Mm-hmm. And I try not to, you know, we joke around once in a while. I try not to swear. When we were working on Little People, you know that show? Little People from Fisher-Price. We had the people on from Fisher-Price in California and in Buffalo, New York. And it was me and like seven girls. It was heaven. Anyway, so it was me and seven girls, all phenomenal actors, Julie Lemieux, Susan Roman, all these great actors. And the girl, it was a Friday. It was, you know, let off steam day. Well, I kept my mouth shut because I knew when I walked in the studio, the girls were already in. I walked in the studio and the studio engineer says, that guy that, you know, from Fisher Price, the born again, the born again Christian guy, he's on the line. I'm like, ooh, okay. So I'm not going to say anything because I know I'm going to get fired. So, but the girls were having a great time and they were doing peepee humor and stuff. And I didn't say anything. So
peepee humor just makes me laugh. I'm a young boy at heart.
I can tell, Scott, it's all over you. But the girls were offside anyway, but they were nothing major. But anyway, they leave and I have to go sing a song. And the guy gets on, he goes, Tony, I just want to thank you for not participating in that shenanigan. Speaking of shenanigans. And I'm like, what do you mean? He says, well, you know, I heard the girls joking like that. And I was thoroughly, you know, thrown off by it. I'm like, oh, I can't lie to you. I knew you were on the phone. That's why I didn't do it. Or I would have said so. Because, you know, we're having fun. It's a Friday. And he goes, I was really honest. Okay, I'll forgive them. I'm like, yeah. You son of... No. It was good. And I was in that same studio. That's a studio we've done a lot of cartoons in called Studio 306. And I was in on the coldest day of the year. And that's when I'm recording and I hear this... Bang! What the I look up and the skylight, thank God it had a safety glass. The skylight had, it was so cold, the skylight shattered in a billion bits. And to this day, it's still there. They never replaced it because it's just sitting on the safety glass. Thank God.
Huh.
Those are cool.
Now, let me ask you, when, like, I don't know if like voice acting jobs were going away as more like big name celebrities were getting, you know, the major roles without really any experience. But I do know that video games kind of came into a big, you know, they required a lot of voices and things like that. Was that like a saving grace for voice actors when like the video games required, you know, all sorts of voices and action and whatnot?
It's kind of the opposite because, again, really? They give the main parts to celebrities. And I'll tell you, half the celebrities out there, they don't care about voice. They just want to get in, get the money, and get out.
Right.
Where most of the guys and gals that do what we do, they really go in there and put their soul into it. This guitar's got sticky stuff on it. Anyway, sorry.
Pee-pee humor.
So, no, not that sticky. Michael, remember your friend Scott that died that night with the... Anyway, I mean, and not to knock celebs because, you know, I thank God for some of the status that I get because I'll go to Comic-Cons and I get all these fantastic fans and they come up and you saved my life. I love this character. Thank you. And it's wonderful. It's funny because I don't do it for the bucks, but I just love when the kids come up and they're really nice. I had guys come up because on the X-Men, Chris Potter was the original Gambit and I'd done like, I was actually in a better position because I wasn't doing a main character. So I'm doing like, you know, those background characters you're talking about and I'd be doing five or six in a show. So lead characters would get paid for one character.
Okay.
I got paid for six. You know what I mean? So it was a better payday. But then in season 3 or 4, I can't remember. I played Bobby LeBeau. That was Gambit brother. And Bobby, he get killed, but not right away. That in the comic book. Anyway, so when Chris left the show, they go, we want you to be Gambit. I'm like, all right, but, you know, Chris is up here when he does his Gambit. And then Sidney Iwanter, the producer, he's like, I want you to morph him down into like a more grittier Gambit. I go, all right, we'll do that. And eventually, when we did the video games, Gambit started going down here and have a lot more action. You know, and then I felt bad because when we did the video games, I walked in, I'm doing Gambit and I'm doing Toad and something else. And then they said, hey, can you do Wolverine? I go, in my sleep, bub. I'm like, oh, cool. I go, why? They go, oh, Cal's not available. I go, he's not available. Well, just hire him tomorrow or the day after in a phone patch because, you know, he's under the weather. He's sick. He can't do it. I go, yeah, just wait for a couple of days. And they said, no, we're going to do it today. If you don't do it, Lawrence Bain will do it. And I go, no, I'm going to match it better then, but I'll do it. And then you can get him later. Anyway, so they didn't tell him and they didn't tell me, but he didn't show up for the session because of circumstances. And then they just recorded my voice and used me as Wolverine. And I was like, oh man, he's going to be mad. And he was furious with me. I'm like, dude, what am I supposed to do? They're telling me you weren't available. Anyway, so thank God he's not crazy. Or he would have pulled out his claws and cut me. Like,
yes.
Dead rabbit I am. But,
yeah. I will say that it's like one of the quintessential kind of cartoons back in the 90s areas, X-Men and all. Literally,
agree.
If I hear that X-Men theme, I feel like I had the power of like 20 men and I could run through a wall. That is just the most epic opening to any cartoon. Exactly.
He does try it too. I've seen him run into several walls. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's terrible. Scott just puts it out on his iPhone. I'm running into walls. It's a very weird weekend when we hang out.
That explains the problem. But it was a breaker. It broke a lot of barriers. It did things that a lot of cartoons didn't do, you know?
Absolutely.
And it was great because it also forged my friendship with Tony Pastor later on. I tried to get on Silver Surfer and I didn't. By the way, God bless him, David Hemlin just passed away, Magneto. And I felt really bad because I really liked him. And I lost Norm Spencer, who played Cyclops, and we were really close. In fact, I was working at a network called CHCH TV, which was on TV, and I was the promo voice for on TV. And then I left, and they hired Cyclops as the promo voice, and we were just laughing because he goes, "Holy crap, man! We had to do this. We had to do this promo about a." Fidegasaurus or something. I'm like, oh yeah? And he goes, I couldn't say the f-ing word. And I go, you mean Stegosaurus? He goes, yeah, that one. I goes, oh, say it. I off. And Norm just pissed himself laughing because I said, don't worry. We all have that one word. Like David Kay, I used to laugh because he was the voice of this one radio station I worked for, and he couldn't say Saturday. It was always Saturday. Like, what? Saturday night. What the Saturday? I don't know. It happens. But we always have those one little, the one that gets me is community. Mm. When you're in Canada, you have to say community. America, you say community. Yeah. You don't even have to move your mouth. You're like Bruce Springsteen. Yeah, exactly. So you don't need to know the words. But yeah, so like some of the stuff. And then being, a Canadian, American, Canadian, I'm always aware of what I'm doing because, like one time I was voice of, Discovery Channel, travel. And, I was working with this one young lady and she's like, can you read that line again? I go, yeah, that's available tomorrow. And she goes, the word is tomorrow. I go, yeah, if you're from the Midwest, she goes, I'm from the Midwest. I go, okay. So I said it that way. Next day I'm recording with another producer and I said, coming up tomorrow. And she's like, where are you from? Like Ohio or something? I go, no. Oh my God. He goes, pronounce it properly, you moron. So nah, she was cool. But yeah, there's always those little things you gotta take care of.
Mm. And it says we got about 10 minutes left. Now, one thing I want to get to you, Tony, like we've had this weird run on our show where we've had like commercial celebrities on the show. So like we've had Frank Sims, who did the Kool-Aid Man's voice. we had coming up in December, we're going to be talking to the gentleman who played Ronald McDonald. So I wanted to get to you about you had a little stint as Tony the Tiger.
Still do.
Still do? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, especially for Canada. They I don't know why they won't book me in America for it. Because I lucked out with it too, just to be honest. I was working with Thurl Ravenscroft, the Tony the Tiger.
Right.
And do you know he was the second Tony the Tiger, by the way?
I did not.
The first Tony the Tiger, I can't remember his name, but he only lasted about 7 months, 8 months. And they went, yeah, we're not liking us. Let's get this other guy. And they got Thurl. And you know Thurl for one other thing, which I'll do in a sec. Anyway, so Thurl's doing this thing and I'm doing the taglines. You can try it, especially marked boxes of Tony's Turbos available, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so they go, oh, Tony, sit down. We got Thurl. We got him for like 15 minutes and he's on phone patch. And I hear, I'm your phone. He had a tank and stuff because he was like 90 something at the time. And he's like, try new Tony's Turbos. They're good. Right? Like, and he's doing the thing. So we only had him 15 minutes and they said, well, we'll just cut it in from his other older reads, right? And then they go, oh, my God, we never got him to say a word, the clean word turbos. And I go, you mean turbos? And they went, ah, will you do it? And I go, yeah, hello. So they cut me in going, try Tony's turbos. They're great, right? And they went, boom, done, perfect. And so fast forward, they called me and said, hey, yeah, we got bad news and good news. I go, what's the bad news? They go, Thurl passed away. And I go, oh, because he was really nice and such an iconic character and an iconic man. And you know his other voice that he's famous for. You ready? You're a foul one, Mr. Grinch.
All right.
You have a thing in your soul. Michael's gonna... Never mind. we're down to 7 minute mark and most people don't know you could die, so there we go.
Tony, you're such an interesting guy to talk to. I'd love to have you on again in the future and break down some more of this amazing career. It's got to be fun to like put on TV and movies and be like, oh yeah, I did that and that, and you could like fly on the radar and no one would even know.
Sure, like the movie Steve Jobs. I'm doing like 9 newscasters in that. You know, it's crazy.
That's awesome. So what are you working on now? What can people or fans or people who are hearing this interview look forward to hearing you in or seeing you in, or and where can people go and check you out?
Well, there's, you know, the regular at the Tony Daniels, and there's TonyDaniels.com, and there's more at the Tony Daniels. And then my musical partner, Cassandra Kubinski, we're up for 2 Grammys, if you guys wouldn't mind popping that up at some point. Yeah, it's kind of neat. You know, we wrote a lot of music together, and I produced, and then our co-producer on the last record, he's Ed Sheeran's producer. His name's Chris Sclafani. And we all get along great, and we produce this really good music. And then when I'm not doing that, I was playing, for 7 years, I was playing guitar every Sunday with Dominic Canazzi. Do you know who that is? Uncle Junior from The Sopranos. And just like, the greatest guy doing stuff for people at Mary Manning Walsh Home. So it was wonderful. And then besides that, I've been writing a lot. In fact, we shot one of the episodes of my new series, Sunday. So I'm still paying for it because we didn't finish till 3 a.m. Because with COVID, you can't just go in and shoot. You got to have all this stuff, all the programs. Mm-hmm. And we have a super minimum crew, like 3 people. That's it, because we can't be around a ton of people. And the 2 actors on this one were myself and Gary Troy, who was in Boardwalk Empire. He was just on Law and Order SVU. And just a great actor. And we're playing 2 Irish guys, right? So we're there. And I'm like, yeah, I'm like f-ing out there. All right. Lots of swearing, because like in Ireland, that's what they do. You know, I have a funny story. One of my best friends in the world is Ellen Dubin. We'll get you to get Ellen. She's so cool.
Yeah.
Ellen was in tons of stuff, Star Wars. But you know her as the mom in Napoleon Dynamite. And she's incredible. So we started together on Sailor Moon. So she's done a million voices as well. So I wrote this series for Ellen, and we've been pitching that. So I'm waiting, because during COVID, nobody's moving on anything. But that's another one that's sitting there ready to go. And then I have one more that I wrote with a friend of mine named Alan Hatcher, and that's sitting with a big, huge production company out in California. And that's what I was doing in March. I was there just before COVID, and it was going to go. And then they went, "We're shutting down for COVID. You're done. Get out." You know, so we had to wait. We're going to have to wait. It'll be fine. But there's all that. And then the music stuff you can find. And as far as animation goes, you can check out Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood. I'm still doing, so far, XIL on there. And then I just did another cartoon last week and some the week before. And again, it's all from the home setup. It just works great. I've got, this is my promo mic. Usually I have a TLM 102 or 103.
Sounds great.
Yeah, you sound great. They're fine. They're fine. Plus, I mean, I'm running through some serious equipment. I was as you could tell, I was also an engineer because of music. So having that skill is that extra set that I'm above everybody else. Plus, I was in electronics engineering, so I understand a lot of stuff.
That's awesome. Tony, I want to thank you so much for popping on our show for a few minutes. Really, really cool to talk to you. Really entertaining. Like I said, we'd love to have you on back down the line when you got your next project going.
Definitely.
So stay safe out there, and keep entertaining the masses, man. You're doing a great job.
Thank you. And well, I'll tell you about the last thing with Ellen and I. We were in a studio all day, and she goes, "I'm really hungry. I'm tired." And the studio engineer is a really good friend of ours. So we go, "Oh, let's just go over." So we went over to this restaurant, and there was this Sri Lankan guy, and he was like the maitre d'. He goes, "Oh, it's him. It's him." And she goes, "What do you mean it's him? It's him. That guy. Oh, can you do something for the guys so all the cooks are there? We'll make you some food. Don't worry. We'll bring out whatever we want." I'm like, "Okay." And he goes, "Do your thing." I go, "Oh." So they're all going, "What's he doing?" I go, "Here, I'll start." So I start off in Ireland, right? You're doing like an Irish accent, right? And if you go real north, that's like Dublin, and then right up to Belfast, right? And then you go to Scotland, right? You're in Scotland, and it's a wonderful place, and they've got sheep everywhere, and you get excited like Michael does. It's wonderful. And then you go to Liverpool, right? And you pretend you're John Lennon, but that doesn't matter. Then you leave and you be like Brian Johnson from AC/DC, and you're a Geordie. That goes up onto the East Coast. Then you go down to London, and you get really stuffy and nosy and stuff. Then you jump in the Channel, and you end up in Paris, right? So I go to Paris, and I have a lot of fun when I'm there. Then I go to Spain, because I love
love the bullfight because I can tell dirty jokes all day long and no one gets them. Then I go to India. Then I love it there because the people are friends and we have a lot of fun and it's wonderful. Then I go to Italy, okay, because there's parts of Italy I've not been to. Actually, I've never been to Italy. Anyway, so I leave there and I go to Malta because Malta is where my father is from and he speaks with the Maltese accent, right? And he's got that. Then we leave there and we find a place in Africa, right? Because you've got to do it. South Africa, that place. Ever been? It's great. Joburg and Cape Town. It's fun. Then you got Australia and you look like Brennan, Mr. Scott Brennan.
Yeah, yes, yes.
And then, yeah. Anyway. I could take you around the world. Like I laugh at some of these guys that are going, oh, I could hear like 25 accents. I'm like, I'll do 500 in 1 minute.
That's amazing. Tony, thank you so much.
You know, these voice actors are very calm and, you know, subdued.
Yeah, they don't like
to. You got to kind of pull their teeth to do their voices, I found.
Yeah, they don't display their talents at all. They're very, you know, introverted.
Yeah, like most of them, it's like, hey, can you do that voice? No, I've done it before. You get my God-given voice, okay?
Yeah, you got to pay me royalties to do that voice. We do. Still one of my favorite clips, which now Tony's clip is going to be one of my favorites, but we still have Frank Sims telling people to listen to Verbal Shenanigans as the Kool-Aid Man. That's Terry Tate was my former, probably favorite intro we ever did. I used that one forever when we used to put like random ones on. Terry Tate from the commercials, the office linebacker. Woo woo! But Frank Sims saying, hey, it's the Kool-Aid Man. You're listening to Verbal Shenanigans. So now we got Tony the Tiger, but. So, I just got a text message. This is kind of, I haven't thought about this in a long time, but this is worth, this is worth telling a quick story about too. So the woman from Tap House 15, Tina, who's the rock star over there that helps us run the comedy shows, God willing, they ever happen again. So back in the day, Mike, you probably remember I had like a really big wood stage. It was pretty heavy and I carpeted the top. It actually was a piece of a runway that I found on Craigslist and I went to Brooklyn to go pick that thing up.
Yeah, I do remember it. I mean, it was generally a two-person job to like flip it over. I don't know how you did it just by yourself half the time, but
yeah. My left shoulder still doesn't know how I did it. because I swear to God, one day I was taking it down the stairs at Tap House and felt something go in my back and it still has never been the same. So eventually we used that stage at a couple different places, Table 42, Tap House 15. Apparently I do shows at places with numbers. And we used it. It was a good stage. It was fine. It was big at least. And then I upgraded and got like a much easier one that basically you're able to fold up and attach and weigh lighter and you could fit it in the back of your car instead of hanging out the bed of your truck like 12 feet. So Tap House 15, the restaurant we do the shows at, I was like, can I just put this in the basement? They have like a house behind the restaurant where, how do I say this? A bunch of African men who work there, maybe legally or not.
So they didn't really get as much pay as, like, say, the manager, who might be called the master.
Well, no, we're not going to shame our good friends at Tap House, but so maybe they have a couple immigrants working, they live in the house behind the place. Yeah.
Basically, me living in Georgia, they probably are appreciating this story, and they're like, go on.
They're like,
go
on. Continue, Michael. Become one of us.
Stop being so mysterious. We know the answer.
The transformation is happening.
You know we're going to rise again, right? You heard our motto.
So they let me keep that stage in the basement of that place, so I didn't have to haul it back and forth or whatever. So I got the new stage, so over time That stage just has sat there for years now at this point. Now, when I used to go get it from the basement of this place, the guy, I used to, there used to be like clothes all over the stage drying, specifically a lot of underwear. So I would have to go remove like strange underwear from dudes that were drying off my stage to like go perform comedy and then
lift it. What is going on in this basement, Scott?
I don't know.
Like, I remember this was a pretty quality restaurant. I did eat there many times and they had some good drafts, but I got, is there like a Tap House Secret 16 I don't know about?
I guess
Tap House 15A?
So I get a picture, Mike, and I'm today, and she says, still going strong. And there's a picture of my stage with a bunch of underwear and basketball shorts drying on the top of it. So I'm glad, basically, I'm glad I donated my large performance drying rack to a bunch of people who need it.
So they have a 70 pound clothesline, is what you're telling me.
Dude, that thing's got to be. That thing's got to be like 150 at least. I used to get two waiters to help me carry it down. Yeah. So, yeah, they got a couple hundred pound drying rack. You're correct.
Yeah. I'm almost kind of scared what's going on in there from the introduction to the spare underwear hanging out there.
Yeah.
I mean, should we be calling Governor Murphy and be like, you didn't hear this from me, but.
You think that's where the pandemic's just spreading from? Like, it's just, it's just orbing out of the underwear stage?
Like a big orb with, like, red stuff poking out of it. It's like, aha!
Yeah, yeah, well, that's where my stage is, guys. So some of you listening may have performed on that stage. Some of you listening may have seen performance on that stage. But probably none of you listening, unless you're one of the Nigerian guys... that follows us has never dried their underwear on a stage, Berlew.
Mm. I mean, one can dream. with Dangerfield's clothes, I mean, I guess that's the next comedy level to say my underwear was drying on Scott Brennan's stage during the Verbal Shenanigans show.
Yeah, at this point in my life, that's basically the legacy I'm building. That's the legacy I'm leaving behind when I'm gone.
Yeah, I mean, I already got the tombstone written all up and all about Scott Brennan, great dad, great underwear drying machine.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, we all shoot for the stars, and sometimes we miss a little bit.
All I need is that end date, and it'll be perfect.
We don't have enough gas in the tank to get to the stars, so we just kind of settle somewhere in the atmosphere. But
exactly,
Berlew, how are you surviving during the scandemic? You know, it's just. Planned disease that is, just to get President Trump out, that was made in a lab by China, affect the whole world just because we don't like President Trump that much. How are you surviving?
Yeah, it was a scam by China to take out Trump.
Yep.
But be thankful for Trump for finding the cure to the disease that doesn't exist.
Right.
Sound about right?
Okay. I see no flaws in that logic.
Okay, well. I mean, he's Verbal Shenanigans. What else would you expect?
I mean, he's clearly making America greater every day. Every day.
I mean, isn't it going to suck January 21st where it's like, today isn't as great as yesterday? It'd be like the first day. And I'll be like, yo, what the hell?
Yep.
I expected greatness. And then like the... You know, January 22nd comes around and you like go out for your morning breakfast biscuit and you bite into it and you're like, something's off.
Wait, do you go out for morning breakfast biscuits?
Oh, we got a good place here.
What is a breakfast biscuit? Do you mean like a sandwich?
Yeah, well, they use biscuits down here. There's very few places that use bagels, so they use biscuits down here.
Oh, so like a English muffin or a straight up biscuit?
No, that's straight up delicious, but if it goes down the wrong pipe and you don't have a cup of coffee, you're going to die from...
My question is, how fat is Georgia on average? Like, do you find them fatter than New Jersey or skinnier than New Jersey?
I guess... my answer is it depends on where I go. If I go to my rural areas, yeah, they haven't been watching. But like in the city, nah, it's kind of like New York, you know. You get out all the pears out there. So,
so the scandemic is not affecting your life at all?
Well, I've been fine. You know, my parents have been scared and everything, but I do have some people in my life that just went through an interesting thing over Thanksgiving. So what I found out was that these friends of mine, they went to one of their mothers for Thanksgiving. And apparently the mother tested positive for COVID.
This is after Thanksgiving. She warned the family afterwards. Hey, I tested positive. I'm being careful. You guys should all get tested. That's what she did.
There's a twist to your story.
There's always a twist, a Burlew twist.
So, yeah, she tested positive before Thanksgiving, decided not to tell people, had them all come over her house for Thanksgiving, and only admitted to have COVID after basically everybody else got sick and everybody else tested positive for COVID, which includes young children as well.
So the children have it too.
The children, the adults involved, everybody positive.
I mean, what? I mean, it just takes a certain kind of ignorance to listen. Like, let's take COVID out of the equation. Let's get that word out of our vocabulary for 2 seconds. So let's replace it with the flu, okay? Because everyone says it's just the flu. It's just the flu, right?
Sounds good.
It's just the flu. It's the same thing as the flu.
All it is.
Okay, Mike, you had the flu. You're having people over for Thanksgiving. Are you like, come on over, guys? And then are you going to be like, I don't have the flu, and then tell them afterwards? Like, because it's funny because people who are so anti-COVID, whatever, it's a scam. I guarantee if you asked them that question a couple months ago, they would be like, I'd be real pissed off if someone had the flu and I went over to their house for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, like, I don't know the mother in question who had it. What I can basically determine is that, as a side note, what I forgot to tell about the story is said mother who was positive is a caretaker / nurse. So she should have some semblance of an idea of how some of these diseases work when people have it. But, I have no signs as in if she was like, it's all a hoax kind of person, even though she got it, or if it was one of those, oh, I'm sure my younger children will be fine and their friends are coming over, or if it's just, simply they're like, let's roll the dice, see what happens.
Yeah, like, is it somewhere in them? Now, let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Was it somewhere in them where they were like, oh, like, I just want to see my family so much that I got to sweep this under the rug? Like, it just takes some brutal ignorance to, like, I don't know. Like I said, if you were just normally sick, like, even if Mike's got a cold, like, don't... You'd probably be like, don't sit near Mike, or if you were really bad, you would probably be like, don't come over. Like, don't come over. This sucks, but don't come over.
Well, I mean, I will have to admit, Scott, a lot of times when I got the flu, I would invite people over. And,
oh, your flu party, your flu parties back in the day were the best.
Listen, I mean, I didn't even just like hand them the food. I baby birded it to them.
Oh, yeah.
It's like...
You did.
I'm like, who's hungry? And I would like rip into a turkey leg and just go, bah, 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 and like just spit it on. Everybody's like, oh, Berlew, you're doing it again.
You remember when we do the ice luge, but you would spit the shot out down the ice, and then the person would be at the bottom, like, oh, I'm getting the flu, the Berlew flu, the burr flu. Like, it's
the burr flu. Yes. Let's get some t shirts going.
You know, it was the bird flu, and then you played on that burr flu.
Exactly. I heard it and I'm like, well, wait a minute. Now somebody has the copyright to BIRD flu.
Yep.
But I'm guessing BUR flu is out there.
Remember when we used to play beer pong and you would take the ball and like wash it around your mouth and then dunk it the cups? That was so good. That was so good.
I spit it out of my mouth. I'm like, oh, you want to use your hands? Freaking rookie. Check this out.
Those parties were the best. The best. We would play flip cup, but you would first have to spit in the cup and then flip it over. That was cool.
Well, it was heave cup because like I would just go bleh in front of the cup and see if the cup would stay up after I heaved into it.
I mean,
then pass it around.
They were sick parties. They were literally sick parties, but. I mean, you knew how to do it right. So maybe she was just trying to echo, you know, she heard about your how popular you were back in the day.
I mean, instead of playing duck, duck, goose, remember we play cough, cough, balla's loose? I mean, I didn't want to ruin my carpets or anything. I lived in an apartment, but it was still amazing fun.
We used to play spit, spit, die. It was great, you know. circle, circle, dot, dot. You're gonna die. You know, it never rhymed that well, but it was good.
The key was just fun. I mean, you were the 3-time champion of that. I remember every year, I'm like, damn it, I'm gonna get you one of these years, Brendan. But
I know. I missed 4 Christmases in a row. It was weird, but they were great parties.
Yeah. I mean, you were telling everybody in the ICU like those epic parties, and they were saying stuff like, you know you're on your last limb, and you're like, it better not be, because Berlew's party's in like another 40 days, my friend.
Circle, circle, dot, dot. This is the end of Scott. Remember, everybody used to chant that, you know?
Oh, good times, good times.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I just, the ignorance is just, it's wild, but I don't know. What do you got? Anything else before we go?
I could tell another little story and all. This actually happened before Disney. I think I haven't told it on the air. So we have a Facebook page for our community here, the little development we live in. And there's a person that put up a post one day talking about, they said, there's been a dog that's been randomly pooping in the middle of the cul-de-sacs in the neighborhood.
Okay.
Like,
all right.
Yes.
Right.
So like, and this has been going for a while, like me and the wife running, like there are occasions where she's very, like, we're in mid stride. It's like, whoa, watch out for that kind of things. So like somebody's had to like put up a video, put up a post saying, you know, I know who it is. I have video cameras in my house. I know who you're at. So if you do not stop doing this, if you don't pick up for your dog, I'm going to post this video on Facebook.
So you haven't stopped?
Well, he thinks it's a dog. But,
yeah. But it's me dressed as a dog in my man pup outfit.
I need to be comfortable when I'm running. We already talked about how I get frustrated. You know, the wife makes me repeat the times and stuff like that. So I gotta be me.
Gotcha.
But
you know, you always had that in you. You always stay true to you, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But I would say maybe 2 or 3 days after that post, we were taking Callie out for a walk, and we always make sure have like 3 bags on her. Like, that's her record, 3 on the walk.
Yeah, us too, same thing.
Yep. And we're walking around, she comes up on somebody's lawn, let one go. I'm like, all right, let me check my pocket. check my pocket. Seems like all the bags flew out when we were walking.
Oh boy.
So
why now immediately are you panicking? Like, oh no, I'm gonna be the pooper. Okay.
No. I'm fine. I mean, number one, I don't know what house the guy who posted it was at, and no, but I was fine. Wife severely panicking. She's like, oh my God, we're going to be on Facebook. Everybody's going to think it's us. And blah, blah, blah. Plus, Callie let like a pure liquid one right on that lawn. So it's like, all right, I'll go back and get some bags. And this was before like a big run. I think we did like a half a marathon like the next day. So I'm taking my time. I'm not going to rush this. It's like, you're staying there by the poop. I'm going to get the bags. I'll come back or whatever. So I start get the panic texts from where are you at? I don't. And then
they're watching.
She literally texts me something to the fact that I've been standing in front of this guy's house for 3 minutes. They probably have me on camera by now. We're going to look so bad, whatever. She worded away. It's like, oh, I've been staying here for 3 minutes, so it had to record where I'm like, I don't think that's how cameras work. I think they just record, period.
Right.
But like she was so severely panicking. Apparently, as I was like walking to the house, she's like walking up and down the neighborhood trying to find like old newspapers with like the plastic bags. Like she's just flat out, oh my God, this is gonna be the end of the
world. Take your socks off. Take the socks off. Man.
So I come back and like, and she tells me all the story, and I'm like, and she's like, we're going to get in trouble. You're going to get in trouble. I'm like, we're going to be fine. Where's the poop? Oh, I lost it. I'm like, your one job was to stand by the poop.
So she panicked so bad that she lost the actual thing she was panicking about.
In her panic, she forgot the most important thing about picking up the poop, which was knowing where the poop was. So here it is. I had to get my phone flashlight on to try to find Callie's poop. I found it because I stepped right.
Yes. Right
in. And I'm talking about like a perfect footprint in the puddle of. So
now, did Mike get triggered here? Did you get angry?
I don't think I got. I was more upset at the calm down. We're going to resolve the problem versus the like. I'm mad you lost the poop. Like at the end of the day, like,
I love the idea of you yelling at your wife in the middle of the street. You lost the poop, goddamn!
No. If I got mad, I would be like, you lost the. I think poop is one syllable, but I digress.
Oh, you can make it two. You can make it two. Poop. Yeah.
Poop.
Wow.
And needless to say, at the end, also, as we were trying to find it, somebody was pulling into the development. So the first thought was this guy's house, but he was trying to be nice. He parked his car to flash a light so we could find it on the person's lawn. It was just such an awkward thing.
I love the idea of you guys like on the community newspaper, like here's the poopers, like the camera images of you, so you just see the silhouettes.
You just see it like an open mouth.
You ever I've gone through this a couple times with my dog Obi. You ever, you know, take two bangs and then he does a third poop and you have to do a pretend pickup? I've done that a couple of times where what I'll do is like if a third poop comes and I have no bangs, I do like a look around, wait for the cars to go, and then I'll like pick up a pile of leaves or something. Because the third poop is usually, there's almost nothing in it. It's basically, you know,
a little
liquid, maybe some crumbles that come, and I just got to like try to figure out how to cover it up. But I always do a good cover up job. I'm a good actor when it comes to the third poop.
I've never been like that. I mean, that's why we brought three bags. We always brought two bags, and then she started doing that third one.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Where, you get caught in that third one where you didn't know.
I just pretty much go, babe, if somebody gets mad, they're going to get mad. I don't have a bag. We're like a mile away from the house. I'm not running to the house for a bag.
You don't put it in your pocket or put it in your wallet or something like that?
You know, I go onto maps and I mark it so I know exactly
Drop a pin right on the poop.
That way it's like if I get lost and get onto MapQuest, I'm like getting directions to poop.
I also love that you're on MapQuest still somehow.
Oh, I'm old school, baby. I don't do this Apple Maps or Google Maps or any of that stuff. No. I go to what originally got me to the place. I only go to sites where I can still print out the directions and hold the piece of paper up to my face as I'm driving to make sure I'm getting to the right place.
God, that was the worst. You know, in 0.73 miles, and then you pass it.
You're like, what? What's the name of this road? Yeah. Does that sound familiar? What?
Well, anyway, I'm glad that you are, possibly the pooping couple in the neighborhood. I'm sorry that happened to you. You're the pooping couple. You got COVID friends. It's falling apart down there. You take advantage.
I yell at my wife very loud and pronounce every syllable.
You out your wife. You take advantage of the Disney fast line. I don't know who you're becoming, Berlo. I don't know who you're becoming, but I'm sorry. I don't know if we can keep doing this.
I think I've established the story was not
maybe
my fault.
Maybe this is why my wife was asking me, how long do you want to keep doing this? Because I've heard some things about...
Did you hear about Pirates of the Caribbean? They still haven't found Oxygen Lady.
Yeah. All right, brother. Anything to promote before we roll?
Even though he looks down on me for the Disney story, I will promote Don Bagnato's wife, Kim Bagnato. If you go onto YouTube, look up Christmas Wrapping 2020 edition. It's performed by the Brian Hansen Band and features his wife, Kim Boyko. It's a really cute little twist on the famous Christmas song, talking about things with 2020. Very enjoyable. It's a 4.5-minute video. Very cute. Quick listen. Christmas Wrapping 2020 edition. The Brian Hansen Band featuring Kim Boyko. We're going to kimboyko.com. Why not?
Yes. And I will promote. We never really got to officially welcome them together, but I will promote our new sponsor on the podcast. Very happy to have them on. You probably heard it right before the episode, but we're happy to have DSE, which is the Dynasty Sports Empire. If you guys are into like real serious fantasy sports where you keep your team from year to year and you compete against some of the highest levels, they are one of the largest companies in the entire country. So we'd like to welcome Dynasty Sports Empire. Go check them out at dynastysportsempire.com. To get more information. So welcome, DSE, to the Verbal Shenanigans family. What you guys could do is please leave a review on iTunes if you're digging what you hear, or share it with your friends. Say, hey, this is a good cast. Check it out. That's word of mouth is probably the best promotion you guys could do for us. So thanks for spending the last 90 minutes with us. Life is funny. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back.
I got COVID, but it's fine to come over.
He tested positive.
Thank you. Thank you very much.